Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Tonight's study is God's Magnificent Salvation Plan. If you are listening on YouTube or Rumble and you would like to join us live or listen to our past studies, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/topical-bible-studies. Let us begin with a prayer. Most holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it is still the day of salvation. We pray that You keep us faithful in declaring a salted gospel to an unsaved world. We ask that You make sure our understanding concerning the falling away and keep us from being shaken in mind or troubled in spirit in these last days. We ask for Your blessings as we continue looking into Thy Word, to keep us and to guide us into truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jehovah hath made known his salvation. You know, whenever we see the word Lord in caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it is always the name Jehovah, whether in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Of course, Jehovah identifies with the Father. There is a verse in Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 110, first verse, where we read that the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, the first Lord, capital L-O-R-D, said unto my, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, sit thou on my right hand. You know, Christ referred back to this of what David said, asking the Pharisees and the scribes, how is it that that David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. Now, of course, the Lord, without the caps, that is the Son. So we could read this throughout the Old Testament. We could see the Father and the Son relationship. And also in the New Testament, we read concerning Christ, where he said, before Abraham was, I am. And of course we know that Christ is the Creator. Okay, Psalms chapter 98, verse 1, a psalm. Oh, sing unto Jehovah a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And the right hand of the Father, of course, is the Son, and the new song is the New Testament message of salvation. Jehovah hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. The body of Christ is the house of Israel. You know, we read in Exodus where God sends Moses to Pharaoh, and first message he says to Pharaoh is, let my son Israel go. And that is identifying with the body of Christ of the Old Testament. And the body of Christ in the New Testament collectively together is the house of Israel. Israel is my son. We are the sons of God. God, of course, is Christ, is the Son. And we too are the sons of God once we become born again. So let me reread. We'll pick up in verse 3. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto Jehovah, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto Jehovah with the harp, and that identifies with the bringing forth of the gospel, with the harp and the voice of the psalms, with the trumpets and the sounds of the cornet. Make a joyful noise before Jehovah the King. And of course the trumpets and the cornet also identifies with the bringing forth of the gospel. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof of the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. Before Jehovah, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Jehovah reigneth, Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. In verse 7 here, we read, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. You know, this picture of the sea roaring, we read also about this in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, concerning the end of the world and concerning judgment day. As a matter of fact, as we continue to go on here, in verse 9, it says, before Jehovah, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity, with justice. But we read in Luke 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, I see a dual meaning here. Of course, I do see that this is a physical thing. The sea and the waves are roaring. Christ is about to appear. Something is happening. Man's heart will fail from fear of looking to what is coming upon the earth, whatever exactly that is. But this picture of the sea and the waves roaring is a picture of the people, the voices of the people, the roaring of the waves. And the idea of the floods is, of course, bringing the false doctrines. But the hills be joyful together. Let the hills be joyful together. And the hills identify with the high place. It identifies where we go to worship God. Whenever we open our Bible or go into a Bible study, we're on the mountain. We're in the hills. We're in a high place, and we're bringing forth God's word. We're learning and soaking in the word of God. We read one of the things, the cherubims. Okay, this is a picture of God above the mercy seats, and it says he sitteth between the cherubims. So the mercy seat, there's a cherubim on one side and a cherubim on the other side. There are two cherubims. We're going to do a study on that soon. But there are two cherubims there. And above, the Bible says that God is above the mercy seat, or above the cherubims. Here we read, he sitteth between the cherubims and, of course, on high. And that, of course, is Jehovah, who's reigning, and he's the one that brings mercy. We read in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular or a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So God's salvation plan has appeared unto all men, but most of the world reject Christ. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with various miracles. The word divers means various. Various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I am Jehovah, beside me there is no God. We read in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Chapter 45, 5, I am Jehovah, and there is none else, there is no God beside me. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Jehovah, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Jehovah, have created it. Woe unto them that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, Why, what makest thou? When we look at these verses here, particularly we see this word that he creates evil. So let's compare some scriptures to get a better understanding of this creation of evil. We read in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, Thou, Satan, was perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. So God, of course, had created Satan. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in our study of the cherubims that Satan is one of the cherubims. But he created Satan, and iniquity was found in him. And I think the key point here is this, you know, we of ourselves will never choose for God. Matter of fact, we'll read this. Let's read Romans 13:12 first, and then we'll think about this a little bit. Let's read Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. No, not one. Romans 3:12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, we read, It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the key point is this. Satan was given a free will. And God knew what the consequences of that was going to be. And of course, Satan fell. Iniquity was found in him. And man, to a degree, of course, has been given free will also. But he will never choose for God. He will create his own God. He'll distort the scriptures to fit his own needs in order that he might continue in a way that is comfortable for him. But there is none that seeketh after the God. It is God that makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that finds us and we become born again. And it is his good pleasure to do these things and bring forth salvation. So unless God works in us, we're never going to choose for God because we're all gone astray. We read in John chapter 1, verse 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word and Christ is one and the same. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By who? By the Word, by Christ. He was the Creator. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he powers to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that's all exclusive, not all inclusive. In other words, not all men are going to be made alive. It's an exclusive group of people that God is speaking of, and that's the all. All who he has chosen. All who he has decided to make sons of God. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And the first fruits, of course, is the Old Testament believer. And then, of course, there is the first fruits of the New Testament. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, he is accepted, which did put all things under him. We read in John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, the word verily is the word, it means truly. It's truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now looking back here in verse 3, where Jesus says, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, Christ came preaching, Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And it was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so no one can, and of course we see that kingdom in Christ. We see that in the body of Christ and the work that he's doing in this world. But the world cannot see them. They are spiritually blind. They cannot see this. And unless God gives us the eyes to see, the spiritual eyes to see, then we will never see it. We also read, except a man be born of water and of spirit. You know, water identifies with the gospel. If we remember the story where Christ is at the well and the woman comes that is at the well also, and Jesus says to her, you know, if you had asked of me, I would have given you water and you'll never thirst again. And that water is the living water. It's the gospel. The water always identifies with the gospel. Generally, because sometimes water, like a flood, identifies with false gospels. It identifies with a flood of false doctrines. And so there are many, many waters that identifies with many words, many languages, many things, many thoughts. And that's what water is identifying with. But particularly this water, of course, is the water to be baptized with, which identifies with the Word of God. So we must be born of the Word of God. And of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ within us, the Holy Spirit within us, dwelling. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And where is that heavenly places? Well, that's within the heart. It's where the fruits of the Spirit would be found. It's where Christ dwells when we become born again. Satan can no longer enter into our hearts because Christ is in our hearts. And so the Spirit dwells within us. So you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And we are living and reigning and ruling with Christ in heavenly places. And where are we living and reigning and ruling with Christ? We're living and reigning and ruling with Christ in our hearts. And what are we reigning and ruling over? We're reigning and ruling over the flesh. We're crucifying the flesh of the sin. So, but again, except a man be born of the water, the gospel, and of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And in the last verse, we read that the wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So this wind bloweth is identifying with the Holy Spirit bringing forth the gospel that we bring forth, and it's the wind blowing through, you know, spiritually speaking, that gives us that picture of the gospel, and many can't hear it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Most people reject and never respond at all. But the gospel has gone out to the whole world, and has gone out since the days of Jesus, or the days of the disciples, shall I say, really. Eternal damnation, hell. There are some that believe that there is no hell. There are many that do not teach hell at all. They bring a gospel of salvation, so they claim, but they don't tell people what they're being saved from. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The first resurrection is the resurrection of our sin-sick souls, and the second death identifies with the flesh, the death that we had into the grave. We read in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, Walk in spirit towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So, of course, grace is the gospel of salvation, but it is to be seasoned with salt. Salt identifies with judgment. We're going to read a little later that everyone that shall be salted with fire. Fire is judgment. We have to bring forth the full gospel, the gospel to teach people what they're being saved from. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And if you don't have a fear of God, there is no beginning for you. Of course, at some point, once you come to the knowledge of your salvation and you have a relationship with Christ, the fear is no longer. So let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, hell's fire, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now God gives us an example here in Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, truly I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And this drink of water is identifying with the gospel. It's living water. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and were cast into the sea. Now the sea identifies with the world. To sink down into the depths of the sea is identifying with sinking down into hell. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You know, we all are spiritually lost. We have withered hands, spiritually speaking. And God has to give us the ability to change that withered hand to a hand that could reach forth and eat off that tree of life. And so that's the picture that we're seeing here. We have to have hands that's going to eat off the tree of life. We read in 45, If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter a halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And this idea of the foot, okay, it identifies with, for instance, the individual, the palsy, that couldn't walk. And Christ, of course, healed them, and he then had the ability to pick up his bed and walk. And that is identifying with the ability of being able to walk with God. God has to give us the ability to walk with him. He has to give us the ability to reach forth and eat off of the tree of life. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, of course, the eyes is what we see with, but the spiritual eyes are to be able to see the gospel, to see the truth, to see God's word, and to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. The Lord tells us to keep our eyes single. Not one eye on the world and one eye on Christ. If you have an eye on the world and an eye on Christ, you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you are not born again. We have to keep our eyes singled and focused on Christ. For everyone shall be salted with fire. There it is, judgment. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith shall ye season it with? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. You know, here at the end of the world, God speaks about people who will trodden God's word underfoot. And there you'll find a saltless gospel. You might see the words, you know, of salvation, but what is going on in the heart is the key thing. And if there is no salt, if people don't understand what they're being saved from, you know, what Christ died for in order to pay for our sins. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should, that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." And that's because they have no fear of God. Salvation is in Christ alone. Christ died for the ungodly. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, we look into history and look back into all these different religions throughout the world. They're all false religions. They all claim certain things, but none of them have a sin bearer. None of them have someone showed that Christ, for instance, came into this world to die for sinners like us. You know, in Acts chapter 5, verse 38, we read, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." So if it's not God's work, it'll come to naught. But, you know, Christ, of course, you know, came preaching the gospel, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." He came preaching, you know, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And there is no other place you'll find a gospel like that. You know, we have the 66 books of the Bible. And those 66 books of the Bible were written by about 40 individuals over a 1,600-year period in different geographical areas. And yet it is in perfect harmony. Spiritually speaking, you know, we can see the perfection of the harmony. Also, the gospel has gone out into the entire world back in the days of the disciples. Matter of fact, we're going to do a study of that one day soon, I hope, to show that the gospel had already been going out into the whole world and continued to go out into the whole world, even onto our day. There are some places that resisted and rejected the gospel, so there are many nations out there that have rejected Christ, but even within those nations there are individuals that have turned to Christ. So, but there is no salvation in any other. There is no other salvation plan. And again, if we look at the Old Testament, the New Testament is prophesied by the Old Testament as far as the coming of Christ, for him to come to pay for the sins, his dying on the cross. Many things that have been prophesied, and Christ came and fulfilled them all. We read in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." In Ephesians chapter 1, we read in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." So we were predestinated before the foundation of the world, before even the creation. Christ knew, or God knew, who he was going to save and bring into eternal life. What must I do to be saved? And it starts with repent. We read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that hath labored, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him." So many people think that they're saved by their own decisions, that they have chosen for God. I have spoken to many people over the years, and they just don't hear the gospel. They don't hear the response to God's word. But they think that they're saved by good works. I'm a good person. I do good. I'm not a big sinner. I don't do a lot of things. I don't kill. I don't do this. I don't do that. You know, they have all these things that they say, and they're laboring to get into the kingdom of God. You can't labor to get into the kingdom of God. Okay? To be born again, that's a gift from God. We're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have to see the light. And, of course, God has to give us the ability, the sight to see, because we're all spiritually blind until we become born again. So we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." So we need the sight to see God. We need the ability to see, spiritually speaking, spiritual sight, in order to see the gospel, to see Christ, to respond to it. And the fear of God is the beginning. We read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So that is the beginning. It is true that at some point, as we work through our salvation with great fear and trembling, the Bible tells us, because we know we're sinners, we know we're heading for hell, we know at some point there's nothing we can do, only Christ can save us. And so as we work through our salvation with great fear and trembling, at some point in time we come to the knowledge of our salvation, if we continue in his word, searching and digging through the word to see once if we are saved, to see once what is the will of God. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, but at some point we don't have fear anymore because we have that true relationship with Christ. We need to believe, okay? And God makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that gives us faith. We read in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, of one of the jailers that asked Paul, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, you know, to believe is something that God has to give you. God has to give you that true belief. Many people say, I believe in Christ. Many people claim to be Christian, but their heart is far from the Lord, and they don't do the things he says. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you'll be spending time in your Bible looking for the commandments of God, trying to be obedient, and pray, you know, for the forgiveness, and pray that you might be born again. Now, verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward. I'm sorry, this is Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we believe, and the faith that we have and the belief we have is the belief in God's will, an understanding of who God is and the work that he has done for us. We also need to confess. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And he saith to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You know, now God tells us in Luke chapter 6, he says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, again, many people claim to be Christian. Many people claim to be saved. But they truly have not worked out that salvation with great fear and trembling. They do not do the things. They don't go into God's word, up onto the mountain, to sit at the feet of Jesus so that they too can become born again, to hear the message of the good news. And he went on to say, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Christ is the rock of our salvation. He's the one that we want to build our house upon. And when the floods came, arose, the flood of false doctrines, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house. And they didn't build their house upon Christ. They built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So we need to believe, we need to confess, and we need to repent. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we need to call on the name of Jesus. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And we can only do these things as long as God gives us the ability, the understanding to do these things, and that we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, up on the mountain. Every time we open up our Bible, we're up on the mountain, sitting at the feet of Jesus as he's bringing forth the word. For he is the word. So we need to call upon him. Whomsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we need to enter into the door. We read in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door, Jesus says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you're responding and you're going to the Lord and you're repenting your sins, you're confessing, you're believing, you have the fear of God, you see the light, and you're entering in through the door by going to the feet of Jesus and hearing the words to respond to his words. And again, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And then we need to endure. Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So the Bible tells us to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to humble ourselves and become obedient unto death. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that every tongue, wherefore, this is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So this is the key here. You know, again, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And God tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What are you frightened of? Because you're heading for hell. You're a sinner. You know you deserve hell eternal. And if we do these things, we know, for it is God which worketh in us to both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that we should repent, that we should believe, that we should respond. We read in James chapter 4, verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Repent, resist the devil. Draw nigh unto God. Go into the word. Go up unto the mountain. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. An entrance into the kingdom of heaven shall be ministered unto you. And we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant of and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partners or partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And this is the key. If we're into God's word, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing. And where does hearing come? Hearing comes from the word of God. Add to your faith virtue. And we develop these things as we spend time with God and desire to be obedient to God and learn the things that we need to learn. So we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue's knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail or fall. For it is in this, the word so means in this fashion. So in this fashion, what fashion? What God just laid out, if you add into your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, and these things will not fail. Okay? For it is it in this fashion, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the knowledge of our salvation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. By grace are ye saved. Again, many, many gospels seem to think or teach that we have to choose something. You know, again, we do choose. We will choose for Christ if given given the time and the ability to do so. But let's read Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, with the conversations of the world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we will respond because we are his workmanship. We will see, we will believe, and we will respond. We will have greater faith, and faith comes from hearing in the word of and hearing from the word of God. And our faith will become greater and greater. If you lack faith, get into your Bible, because God promises you that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. Your faith will become stronger and stronger the more and more time you spend in God's word. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. We are his workmanship. We are saved by grace. There is nothing we can do, nothing we did do, to add to our salvation. It wasn't that God offered and we had to accept it of ourselves. No, he made us to accept these things. It is a gift of God. Walk with God. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We read in 2 John chapter 1, verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had heard from the beginning, that we love one another. Now this idea of lady identifies with the bride of Christ. So Paul is speaking to the bride of Christ. I'm sorry, John is speaking to the bride of Christ. But of course John is identifying with bringing the message of God. So it's the Father speaking to the bride. Not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which I had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into this world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is that deceiver and an antichrist. Now, look, a lot of people read this and they think that this is talking about the person of Jesus Christ, the Son, the creator of this universe, confessing that he came in the flesh. But that is not what this is talking about. This is talking about the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is in the body of Christ. That is that Christ has come into the flesh. You know, correction is grievous to those who have forsaken the way. And when we have the truth and we share that truth, and it's denied, it's rejected, and they bring some other doctrine, this is what God is speaking about. They can't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and we can see that they cannot do that because they are spiritually discerned. So this is that deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever or who in this fashion ever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, you see, that is the key, not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. So God is explaining it to us right here. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You know, we should have one mind. We read about that a little earlier. The Bible commands us to have one mind, to have the mind of Christ. And we find the mind of Christ between the books of Genesis and Revelation. So we have the truth. God is expounding all things to us. And if they don't have the mind of Christ, if they're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, but they're abiding in the doctrines of men, then we know what their state of their being is. So if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, line upon line, precept upon precept, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partners or partakers of his evil deeds. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We focus towards Christ and not towards the things of this world. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin to the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't mind the things of the flesh. We're not living in our lusts and our sins anymore, but we're living in the righteousness of Christ. We live after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or earthly minded or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, godly minded, Christly minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So these will be the things in your heart, the things in your mind. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For who in this fashion ever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith come from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we get our faith by reading through the word of God, and it builds our faith. We see the consistency, we see the promises, we see the way to salvation. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. 1 John 3:24, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So you will know whether you're born again if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you mind the things of the Spirit, if the treasures of your heart are the things of God, the fruits of God's Spirit, or is it the things of this world? What is your heart? What is filled in your heart? And you'll know that by your mind, because your mind will seek out and desire and lust over the things of the world that comes out of the heart. Thereby you know you have a problem with God. But if the things coming out of your heart are the things of God, and therefore in your mind the things of God, having a relationship with God, repenting your sins with God, and obeying God when he says, resist the devil, and he will depart from you. So we have to really have the mind of Christ. And again, let me read this. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. If our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked of the wicked one, who slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. So we can turn to God. If we start to see the thing, look at whatever's going on in your heart, it's in your mind, because your mind is the expression of your heart. And so that's where your desires are, the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit, the things of God. So if your heart condemns you, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Therefore, we can turn to him. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Therein is the knowledge of your salvation. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, as he gave us commandments. 1 John 3:24, he says, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We will have a focus on the things of God. We are now no more strangers and foreigners. We are a building fitly framed together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So we are living stones built up for a temple of the Lord. The body of Christ is where Christ dwells within. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, in Jesus Christ, he was who was sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make to himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the okidome, to build up the body of Christ, living stones, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Jehovah hath made known his salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Come to the light. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Believe, John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So then that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Confessed, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repent, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Call, 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Enter through the door. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Endure unto the end. Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Ecclesians 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. All right, that brings us to the end of tonight's study. Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.